Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 6 as we continue our study of the Lord's Prayer and come this evening to the fifth petition, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Matthew chapter 6, I'll be reading from verse 9 down to verse 15. Let's again hear the living and abiding Word of God. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Amen. Let's bow briefly in prayer again. Our Father in heaven, we again seek your help as we prepare to hear your word. Lord, we pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit that you might make us good hearers and good doers of the word. We pray that, Lord, we might hear the voice of our Savior speaking to us, and we might see his love for us in teaching us how we should pray. Lord, we pray that we would be reminded of the great forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that you might cultivate within us a merciful and forgiving spirit towards others. Lord, be glorified among us in the preaching and hearing of your word this evening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there is a very beautiful organization and brevity to the Lord's Prayer. It's short, it's succinct, and yet it is very deep. And more than that, there is a very clear organization for us. There are six petitions. The first three, Jesus teaches us to seek the glory of God. And then in the last three, Jesus really teaches us how to pray for our needs. We considered last week the petition, give us this day our daily bread, and saw that we are really asking that the Lord would day by day provide the things necessary for life in this world, whether it be food or clothing or good government protection. The Lord teaches us to pray for these things. But now, having asked for our physical, earthly needs, the Lord now teaches us to pray for our spiritual needs. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And like our prayer for our daily bread, this too must be a daily prayer for us. We need bread to prosper physically, but even more so, we need the grace and mercy and forgiveness of the Lord to prosper spiritually. We've prayed for sustenance for our bodies, and now we're praying for sustenance for our souls. Now, if you think about it, when we come to the Lord asking for our daily bread, we're coming to Him as His creatures. But now this petition for forgiveness confronts us with the reality that we are sinful creatures. And that is why this petition follows on the heels of the previous one. If you look at your Bibles, notice the word and. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts. Jesus links the two together deliberately. He's emphasizing that it is not enough for us to have our physical necessities met in this world. It's not enough to have our material needs taken care of. even though this would satisfy many people. Many people would be content to have all of their earthly needs met. But here Jesus is really teaching us that we have a greater need. Bread can sustain our bodies for 70 or 80 years. But bread is nothing without the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. So we need the forgiveness of the Savior. And like our need daily for bread, we daily need His forgiveness. We're fallen creatures. And we have a daily need for His mercy, His grace, His forgiveness. And thus He teaches us to pray, forgive us our debts. Now, let's first think about how this is a prayer for forgiveness. And you'll notice the language the Lord uses. He calls our sins debts. And that can tell us something about our sins and our need for forgiveness. A debt is something that we owe. A debt is something that we must pay. It calls out for satisfaction. One writer said, a debt has a very loud and annoying voice that calls out, pay me or else. Being in debt is not a good position to be in. It's like a constant burden on us, reminding us that we're not free men and women. And for a moral person, there's always a stress when there's financial debt involved. It needs to be paid, and there is a stress there that will remain until that debt is paid. And just as financial debt should be a bit of a painful thing if we are sensitive to it, our Lord now teaches us to pray that our debts, our sins, should be forgiven. It's a daily reminder to us that we are sinners who have incurred a debt against God. And if we compare Jesus' words here to His words in Luke, in Luke's gospel, He uses the word sins. Forgive us our sins. And so that tells us what Jesus has in view here. He's talking about our spiritual debt that we have incurred against God as sinful creatures. And that means that sins and debts are simply two different ways of expressing our sin and its results. And we come into this world owing a debt to God because of our sin. David said in Psalm 51:5, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. In other words, because we are born in sin, or what is sometimes called the doctrine of original sin, because of that, we come into this world owing a debt to God. It should be a bit of a disturbing thought to us that before we take a single breath in this world, we bear the stain of the first Adam's sin, and that means we are guilty and we are debtors before God. That's the problem of the human condition. Before we do anything, before we're even born, we are indebted to God. And so we're already in debt when we're born, but to make things worse, we're born into this world with no desire or ability to pay that debt to God. In other words, as God's creatures, we owe Him our obedience, we owe Him our allegiance, but we're born as enemies and rebels against God. And that means that without Christ, the human experience becomes just an exercise of incurring debt upon debt upon debt. Without Christ, that is what a human being is destined for. The piling up of debt that is going to incur the righteous judgment of God. This is what Paul referred to in Romans 2:5 when he was talking about those who persist in their unbelief. And he says, because of your hard and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath, when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. This is the problem of the human condition. And this means we have a great need for forgiveness, a great need to have our debts removed from us. Now, as we think about this petition, I think it's right to say that this should be hard for us to pray. It involves shame because it calls us to be open and honest with God about our sins, about our debts. Confessing our debts really should not be easy. If you think about in the human realm, when we have to go to someone that we know that we have sinned against, that is never easy. It's a very difficult thing to do. In many ways, it's humiliating, sometimes shameful. And yet, how often we come to God and we find it so easy to just pray in generalities and say, Lord, forgive my sin. And that means as we confess our debts that we should be very specific before our Heavenly Father. We need to reflect upon and verbalize our specific sins to Him. We need to allow ourselves to be uncomfortable as we verbalize our specific sins to Him. It's all too easy, I think, for us to hide behind generalities and just say, Lord, forgive me. It's much harder for us to say, Lord, I lost my temper today. And I said things that were hurtful. I said things that dishonored you. I lusted, I coveted, I dishonored you, Lord. Forgive me those debts. And verbalizing specifically our sins, I think really serves to cultivate contrition in us, but also a sensitivity to our sins. So we realize how much we are being forgiven. And so it's a daily need to seek the Lord for forgiveness. But secondly, we need to think about the basis for this forgiveness. Because if you've ever really thought about this petition and the addendum that the Lord adds at the end of the Lord's Prayer, it can be a bit confusing. What is the basis for our forgiveness? Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And we might wonder, is us forgiving others, is that the basis for God forgiving us? And then in verses 14 and 15, Jesus goes on to say, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, what is Jesus saying there? Because very often, those words are taken in the wrong way. People take that to mean that our forgiveness of others is the basis of the Lord forgiving us. And we know that that cannot be true. We know that's antithetical to the gospel. And moreover, forgiveness in and of itself cannot be a work that we earn. It's not a reward, it's something undeserved. And so that's not what Jesus is teaching. We cannot earn our own forgiveness. And the basis for our forgiveness, the reason we can come to the Lord as those who belong to Him, we read it in Ephesians 1. In Him, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. That's the basis for our forgiveness. Christ being in Him. It's His blood. It's His grace. And friends, if forgiveness was something that we had to earn, we would be utterly hopeless. It is a gracious, undeserved gift from God. And so when we pray this petition, we must remember the grounds for our forgiveness. That Christ suffered as our substitute. He suffered so that our sins might be forgiven. Forgiveness is a cancellation of that debt. It's a removal of an obligation. And in a very literal sense, that's what that word forgive means. It means to send away. Jesus sends away your sins. And so we're forgiven on the basis of Jesus Christ and Him alone. And so that tells us that this statement, as we forgive our debtors, is a statement of reality. In other words, because we are in Christ, because we have been forgiven, because we have the Holy Spirit and have been given a new nature, Jesus is saying, for those who have tasted and experienced My forgiveness will naturally be a forgiving people. I'm more to say on that in a moment, because that doesn't mean that it is easy. But what Jesus is indicating here is that having that new nature, that we should manifest the same character as our Heavenly Father. We should be a forgiving people. But there's really another darker side to that, especially in verse 15. Because the warning here seems to be that if our lives are characterized by a persistent, unforgiving spirit, if we don't really know what it is to forgive someone, if we've never really forgiven someone, if we habitually are unmerciful and unforgiving, it's a warning from Jesus that we might not have ever truly tasted the forgiveness of Christ. We know forgiveness is hard. We know we don't always do it. We know we don't do it perfectly. And yet, if we don't know what it is to forgive, Jesus is saying, be warned and examine yourself. Do you truly know intimately the forgiveness of Christ for your sins? It's the basis for our forgiveness is Christ. It's His cross, His blood, His grace. But let's move on, thirdly, to think more practically about the practice of forgiveness. It's sort of implied in this prayer, as we forgive our debtors. And again, it is because we have been forgiven so much, because we are being conformed into the image of Christ, because we have the Holy Spirit within us, Jesus calls us to forgive others. And in this prayer, again, we're praying for this kind of posture. But how do we practice forgiveness? Now, again, that's the caveat to my previous point. We know this is not easy. It's hard for us to forgive. And it's hard for us because very often we've been hurt deeply by something. And so I want us to close this evening by thinking about some practical points to help us think more deliberately, more accurately about forgiveness. I think first we need to think carefully and calmly about what needs to be forgiven. We need to reflect carefully and calmly, prayerfully, about what needs to be forgiven. Don't respond in anger. Don't rush to judgment. Evaluate honestly the debt that you think is owed to you. What has the other person actually done to you? And I think in our haste, we often act like people have hurt us on purpose. When reality, it's just a simple misunderstanding or miscommunication. So ask the Lord to help you, to calm you, to think through these things. And this is essential if we are going to extend true forgiveness. Because very often, and I'm sure some of you can testify to this experience, we reflect on how we think we have been sinned against, and upon reflection, we either realize that really wasn't as bad as I initially thought. Or sometimes we realize, I'm actually the offending party. It was due to my poor communication or my harsh demeanor. And so we need to reflect on the offense that we think was committed against us. And then once we have done that, we need to actually practice forgiveness. And again, simple to say, harder to do. We need to actually forgive others. We might not feel like forgiving. We might have to forgive people that have legitimately hurt us. Friends, we need to remember that despite how we feel, we need to forgive. Now, practicing forgiveness might not involve granting forgiveness. Forgiveness has to be sought for it to be given. Forgiveness doesn't mean that the other person escapes penalty. If someone breaks into your house and steals your stuff and does damage to your house, you can say, I forgive you, but that doesn't mean they avoid the penalty. We need to tell the other person what they have done. We need to say, I believe this was a sin. It hurt me. But if they seek our forgiveness, we need to grant that forgiveness. Now, I didn't give you much on your outline, but if you're taking notes, you can do these as three little subpoints to practicing forgiveness. As we practice forgiveness, if we forgive someone, don't ever bring up the offense again. Don't ever bring it up again. Don't talk about it. Don't bring it up. Now, that is very challenging, but that is the biblical view of forgiveness. We read from Psalm 25. We sung from it. God remembers our sins no more. He sends them away. He never uses them against us ever again. And friends, when we let the issue go and never bring it up with that person again, we are forgiving as Christ has forgiven us. But again, there's a darker side to this. Because if we say that we forgive someone, and then we keep bringing up the matter with them, and accusing them and making them feel bad, who is that like? Who keeps bringing up our sins and accusing us? That is what Satan, the accuser, does. He keeps bringing up our sin to us, making us feel guilty and unworthy. Let this be a warning to us that when we do that, when we keep bringing it up, when we keep accusing someone that we say that we have forgiven, we're not forgiving like Christ. We're behaving like the accuser. And this can happen very subtly, just subtle jabs towards someone else to make sure that they remember what they did against you. Don't ever bring it up again. And related to that, if we've forgiven someone, don't tell anyone else about the offense. And I think in many ways this is why we have such a hard time forgiving and forgetting. You know, someone does something to hurt us and we say we forgive them, but then we want to keep talking about it with other people. That will not enable us to move beyond the offense, to truly forgive if we keep bringing it up to other people. And so we don't bring it up to the person who have offended us, and we don't bring it up to other people. And again, this is another related point, but we must not dwell on the offense. We need to refuse to think about it. Holding a grudge is sinful. It's dishonoring to God, and yet why do we find it so easy to hold grudges? Why do we find it so easy to dwell on offenses? We don't treat other sins this way. We know that it's wrong to dwell on other things. We know it's wrong to covet. We know that it's wrong to lust. We know that it's wrong to have murderous thoughts. And yet, somehow we're okay with dwelling on offenses against us. We need to treat those grudges like any other sinful thoughts. Thoughts of anger. We need to treat that self-pity as it was any other impure thought. We can't dwell on it. And this is hard for us. We have this strange, morbid sense of satisfaction when it comes to dwelling on an offense. And it, in the end, it makes us miserable. And this is my second gross dog analogy today. But, you know, if you have a dog and it's had surgery, they put those weird cones around their head. And why do they do that? Because that dog, if left to himself, he would pick at that incision until it was a gaping wound again. And friends, that is how it can be with dwelling on offenses. It's a wound that is healing. And when we dwell on it, we pick at it until it becomes a wound that is open again. We need to learn to say no to these thoughts and the power of the Holy Spirit. So we pray, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And friends, if only these principles will be applied in our land. We look at our country and we see hard-hearted people who will not forgive. And it's a testimony to the godlessness of our society. And yet, friends, what about us? What about the church? What about our families? Why do we have such a hard time forgiving others even after Christ has forgiven us so much? And I think the answer is that when we lose sight of the cross of Christ and we lose sight of the depth of our own sin and how much we have been forgiven, and we don't really see ourselves as people who have been forgiven much, then we will not be
a forgiving people.
This is a challenge to each of us. It starts with us as individuals. Pray that the Lord would sensitize you to your own sin, that we might reflect on our sin and reflect on the sufferings of Christ. And as we look at ourselves and our sin, and we look to the cross of Christ, and we realize how much we have been forgiven. And remember, Jesus does not forgive us begrudgingly, but lovingly. I think when we do that, when we keep our eyes on the cross of Christ, it will be then that we can be able to honestly and sincerely pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we have indeed been forgiven much. We were lost and helpless and hopeless, but you, in your love, condescended to save us, to forgive us, to remove our sins as far as east is from west. Or we pray that you might convict us of our own sin. We pray that we might daily pray this petition and specifically confess to you our sins. And may your Spirit sensitize us that as we see the depth of our sin, we might see the depth of your mercy and your forgiveness. And your Holy Spirit might cultivate within us a merciful and forgiving spirit. We pray, Lord, that it might be a very tangible and visible way that we declare Christ to this lost, unforgiving world. I pray it might be for the glory of Christ. Amen.